All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and follow up from Philippians 4, 6 this morning, latter part, and note an occasion that ties to this by the fact that we can be distracted from the Lord. When in order to be able to be anxious for nothing, which is the command in Philippians 4, 6, we have got to be in close communion with the Lord and not distracted. So verse 38 of Luke 10, as they were traveling along, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray. We're grateful that you direct us to how we might deal with worry and anxiety and stress, things of this world that you give your children peace in because of your graciousness and our peace with you. Lord, may we tonight be greatly directed toward you and careful about the relationship that we have with you so that we do not get distracted. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes you'll see if a successful athlete will find a way to carry as little weight as possible before competing. Of course, being in shape is part of that. But, you know, what you do, you don't want to be encumbered by weight. Every time I've hiked up Mount Everest, I've held to this principle, or I should say, if I ever go up to Mount Everest, that's what I'll do. Carry no more weight than needed. When I played golf, you know, you don't want to fill your whole bag with 100 golf balls. Few as possible if you're carrying your bag. You never see gymnasts wearing shoes. That's a weighty thing, I think, that throws off the balance. So when we're dealing with the matter of worry and anxiety and fretting and the ill effects it has on heart and mind, we're interested in getting rid of the weight of worry. Anxiety is a weight on us. You can't rest, you can't sleep, you can't be comfortable, you can't stop thinking about it. The normal day is occupied by thoughts of that. It's a heavy burden. It doesn't have to be a big, big thing either. Sometimes they're very weighty, big, serious matters. Sometimes it's just a little thing that causes us to worry. And the Lord's will is that we not worry. Psalm 55, 22, I noted this morning, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Casting your burden means you take it from yourself and you give it to the Lord. So we don't need the hindrance of weight. Physical weight will hinder us from walking. A non-physical weight of worry will also hinder us from carrying out our day, doing what we're supposed to do. Doesn't have to be a physical matter. Physical weight is actually a lot easier to bear than anxiety and stress. I've heard all my life that it'll give you an ulcer. It'll cause you all sorts of physical problems. It certainly causes you a lot of emotional distress and problems, even looking forward to a day. Depression sets in, discouragement, resignation to events. So worry takes a toll on mind and body. And the Lord who told us not to worry also told us that there's plenty of things every day to worry about. Every day has enough trouble of its own. But the Bible in Philippians 4:6, we have to keep emphasizing this, does not say anything has to leave our world to keep us from worrying. We don't have to get rid of the things that make us worry. Philippians 4:6 and 7, nothing about you can stop worrying as soon as you get your health back, or your children are doing better with their health, or your car starts working, or the bill gets paid. None of the things that normally we would associate with causing worry have to go away for us to not worry. The command is not to worry and not to have that affect our lives. It drags us down. It makes us unable to do with our utmost capacity the things that we're responsible to do. It affects others as well. It drags others down. We can't lift our heads up if we are weighed down by worry. And so to overcome that is essential. And in this world, it's not uncommon at all to find that the burdens are so great that people want to check out of life even. It's no excuse. It's not justified ever. People are so weighed down, especially by health matters, concerns for family, concerns for money. Some homeless persons are homeless because they've checked out on life. Not all of them, of course, but some of them had a home and had a job and just got fed up and gave up. So they're homeless on that cause by being disengaged with life. And so the Lord wills for his children not to worry. What parent? How many of you parents want your children to worry and fret? Do you ever tell them that, they need to worry a little bit? Fret some, have anxiety, have distress. Well, our Lord doesn't want us to worry. Our God is kind. He wants us to be happy, to live happy lives in him. The Beatitudes, blessed is, the poor in spirit and all that. Blessed means happy. It's a condition the Lord wants his children in. He doesn't say that we're going to have all good times. Everything's going to go well. You're going to be healed of all your diseases at the very second you ask and have one. That's not the case. Trouble in the world, trials in life is not the issue. Again, the overcoming worry has nothing to do with those things going away. It is a matter of peace from God in the midst of all that. So the Lord wants us to be happy. Psalm 32, verse 10, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The massive problems our nation has at the root is because our nation does not have God as the Lord. God is the Lord, but they do not follow him. And so we're not only offered peace from worry, but we are commanded to have it. If you've been with friends and they're preoccupied with something that's troubling them, what you want from them is that they would be relieved of that burden. And if you could just cast it away yourself, you would. Well, we're told to be anxious for nothing. Well, one thing, I mean, if I was only doing one thing, that would be pretty good to compare to other people. Yeah, it would be. But of course, the command is to be anxious for nothing. And I noted this morning that some people are not looking for peace in their lives. And this is a mark of the fall. It's a characteristic of being lost. It's just a self-serving thing. Some people want to vent. They have a problem, they want to vent. And God knows we have so many avenues for venting today. All these social media platforms. You can get on and you can vent yourself crazy. We talk about people unloading their burdens, getting it off their shoulders, and venting or in some way unburdening themselves, only to garner sympathy or to show people they have a hard time. And the victory over worry is not to vent, but to have peace. And that comes in Christ. So Jesus visits Martha's home. Martha has a sister named Mary. I have third cousins. One has died now, Martha and Mary. So here, Mary and Martha, it's Martha's house. She might have been a widow. We don't know anything about why it's her house. Generally, it wouldn't be called that unless maybe she was the one who was keeping the house or she was in charge of the house. We just don't know. But she was certainly in charge of the preparations when guests came over. And so we're told that Jesus entered a village and Martha welcomed him into her home. Jesus did not have a house. Jesus had no place to lay his head. He said he was a wanderer, itinerant, preaching through the land. And he stayed at the, welcome of others. And Mary and Martha, and Lazarus, they were all close and with Jesus. And so he'd visit them sometime. And so Martha, it's Martha's house. Martha's the hostess. And of course, everybody wants to be a good host or a hostess. And so when Jesus showed up, it's not just Jesus, his disciples also traveled with him. So it wouldn't have been just like one person coming. It'd probably been, the whole troop coming in. And so there's a lot of pressure on Martha, a weightier burden. And Martha was a good person. She wanted her guests to be well provisioned and have suitable hospitality. People visit us at our house. I'm sure to show them all my spaceships and ray guns. It's whatever you want to showcase. Well, somebody comes over, you want to, oh yeah, this is, we want you to be comfortable. We want you to have plenty of food to eat. We want you to be happy. This is a fun time, and it's on the host to provide that. And so Martha's feeling the pressure, and she was distracted. And she was distracted in a way that, I mean, really is not even excusable. It's understandable that with all the things she had to do to make the house and the provisions as much as they could be, that she forgot about Jesus. As in Martha's mind, you see, verse 39 tells us that she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?" That's kind of a, if you imagine it, she's telling on her sister in her sister's presence to the Lord. Lord, get her to do what's right. And I believe in Martha's mind, she thought that it was so obvious what should be done. You talk to some people today, they are so confident in their position that they just assume everybody agrees with them. And if you don't, they're shocked. And so Martha was wondering, what's going on here in such an obvious wrongdoing that I'm being left to serve by myself, and Lord, you're sitting there and letting my sister sit there in front of you and hear your teaching. So she addresses the Lord about, don't you care? Don't you care I'm in here by myself serving? There's my sister who should be up serving. She obviously doesn't have enough sense to get up by herself. Lord, you're going to have to tell her to get up because she's stuck to your words. And then she leaves it at that. I can see how flustered she is, how much she's running around. I don't know what she's making. I don't know. I mean, it's probably, according to the words of Jesus, I think she's going overboard. She's doing more than she has to, and not just, that she's distracted from the Lord, but she's probably too focused on the preparations being more than they have to be. Because she seems to be one of these people who wants to do more than enough, because that's just very gracious of her to do. And so she's distracted. One of the most common excuses for being distracted from more worthy endeavors is the argument that the things we're distracted to are too important to veer off of. Some people make their jobs their focal point and not their families or their marriages or their children or all kinds of other things that are more important. And the thought is, well, we got to make a living, got to make money. And so it's a matter of distraction. It's not a matter of not doing those things. It's a matter of being distracted from other things that are more important. And Mary was using a very unique opportunity. If Jesus came to our house, what would be the most important thing to do? Feed him? Certainly we would. Or listen to him. Hear what he has to say. Mary sits before the King of Heaven, the Lord God, the Messiah, the fount of all wisdom and knowledge. She sits at his feet, a place of submission to learn as a needy person. She wants to know what he would say to her, what he would teach her. We don't have the teaching. We know that when our Lord taught, it was the best. It was practical, insightful, wise, amazing. He spoke as no other man. And so she has an opportunity in her sister's house to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he has to say. Or she could hop up, run into the kitchen, and help her sister with the preparations. And she didn't move. She was eager for the knowledge of the teaching of Christ and his way. So there's the situation. So Martha, because she was doing too much and focused on other things, was unsettled. She was distracted from Christ, and so she was unsettled with the preparations and all the things that needed to be done. She wanted help for that. She was actually angry, as the culmination of all these frenzied preparations. Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. While we feel for Martha, Martha we know very little about. We see her from time to time in the Gospels. And the thing we most know about her is she got upset when her sister wouldn't help her, and because her sister was listening to the teaching of Jesus. So it's not the best light to shed on a person. So she says to Jesus to tell her to help me. And then I think the expectation again in Martha was that he would tell her that. He would say, Mary, what are you doing sitting here at my feet listening to my teaching? Get in there and help your sister. What's wrong with you? Instead, Jesus said this. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Our whole life is a matter of choosing priorities, choosing what's important. It's not that other things aren't important. It's just that some things are more important. And because of our finite nature, we cannot do everything. And we can't do things and get our priorities wrong, because then that has a cascading effect to where we begin to drift away from the proper relationship with the Lord. So he rebukes Mary, I mean, rebukes Martha, and he says that Mary actually is doing the right thing. I'm not going to tell her to get up and go in to the kitchen. Jesus, his ministry throughout the land was to teach. Go up on a mountain and teach. Go by the sea and teach. Get a boat out into the water and teach out to the ones on the shore. Constantly doing that. He showed his power while he did it to show he had the authority and all, but he was constantly teaching, preaching the gospel, telling people how they might be saved, telling people what the truth was when they were, mired in a lot of legalism in certain cases in Jerusalem with the priest and all that. And people were wondering. The woman at the well in Samaria, he taught her, challenged her about her sin. Oh, she was amazed. When the disciples came and said, "Lord, get something to eat," he said, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." The food to eat was his teaching and the people hearing his teaching. This was what the Lord came to do, to seeking to save the lost, to instruct the blind, to open the eyes of the blind, all of those things. Martha was distracted. And it's characteristic of being distracted that it starts to have a life of its own. Your distraction becomes larger, and it's like you are stuck in a distraction. And nothing wrong with wanting everything to be good and to have the hospitality be great. But hospitality was not the prime directive in Jesus's visit. If Jesus comes to your house, you better sit on the floor and let him teach you. Everything else is secondary. Yeah, at some point we'll have to get to the food. There was a way to do that without it being distracting. To have Jesus send Mary to the kitchen instead of having her sit at his feet and learn, that's not going to happen. And so Jesus instructed Martha that her enormous efforts were, in one sense, more than what was necessary. But I think the primary thing was that she had not chosen the good part, and Mary had chosen the good part. What's the good part? Was the good part to have all the preparations perfectly set before Jesus? No, that wasn't the good part. That was an okay part. But in the contrast, Jesus says in verse 42, Mary has chosen the good part. The good part, what has Mary chosen? To sit at the feet of Jesus. That's the good part. And Jesus said, that will not be taken away from her. I'm not going to send her to the kitchen to do the less than the best part of this visit. It is a very satisfying and joyful thing for a teacher to teach and for those who are listening to listen with enthusiasm and interest. You go throughout the churches and you'll preach and you'll teach and you'll talk to people, and they're checked out on all that. They're not really interested in those things. But when you find someone who really is curious, really is interested, really wants to know, really wants to learn, you lay into that and hold on to that. And when you have that, you never want to get away from that. You never want to be distracted from that. You'll eat, yeah, sure. But Eating is not the prime thing. Hospitality is not the prime thing. We keep serving worry by fretting more over it. And then it becomes the focal point. And if worry is the focal point, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is being missed. So the lesson here to Martha is a lesson to us. If our priorities take us from Jesus, then our priorities must be reprioritized. It's certainly fitting in our lives to examine the things we have to do, things that are required of us, and make sure that we are not drifting from a focus on Christ. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, all that is God-centered. And then you get God's result, the peace of God. Martha did not have peace. Why? I've seen people working hard in the kitchen. So far in my life, I've avoided a lot of that. I've seen it though. I've seen the preparation. I've seen the people moving here and there. It's work. But the lesson here is for us to have victory over anxiety, we've got to be focused on the Lord Jesus in a intimate, tender relationship, communion with Him. Otherwise, the weight of the world is on our shoulders, and we are not strong enough to deal with it. And if we are distracted, we lose the key to peace because we will never be at peace without a focus on Christ. You think if you watch the news every day this week, you'll be at peace with the world, peace in your heart? You find out all that the world's doing, all the decisions from Washington, you think that'll cause you peace? It'll break you in pieces, but not give you peace. Without a focus on Christ, we're flustered, hurried, uneasy. It's like we have no place to land. It's like the whole world around us is trying to do us in. When we take communion with Christ and not be distracted from it, even with things we know we have to do, and keeping Christ central, we have peace with God. Let's pray. Lord, we want that. I know the world wants this, but doesn't think that they need you for it. And yet it eludes the world day after day to have this peace and contentment in you. I pray, Lord, we would be at peace this week. I pray that our burdens will be brought to you as instructed in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And Lord, that you would do that which you have promised to do, that, Lord, you would give peace to your children. And even make that an attraction to those who do not know you, that they might come and desire that peace that you give to those who are yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.